This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good g'day to everyone out there listening to us. Welcome to episode number 102 of the Podium Finish Live, or TPF Live. I'm Rob Tiansen, and I'm so glad that you could join us for another edition of the World's Fastest Hour of Racing Talk. Yes, I did say episode 102. And yes, we've gotten past episode 100 and 101. So if you've been around for all those episodes, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And for this particular show, I am joined alongside our staff editor, social media specialist, e-gaming specialist, basically the pop culture connoisseur, Jess Sharp, and you'll hear from her very shortly as she enjoys her chicken nuggets. Nathan Solomon is off for this episode, but he has a very good reason, because he's going to be at a thing called the Superb Owl. I can't say it because I don't want the No Fun League to go after me, nor do I want Taylor Swift fans to go at me, because apparently making fun of MGK got me a lot of heat. So we're gonna stay away from music culture references unless I want more crazy fans to go after me. I'm kidding, don't take it seriously, folks. Anyways, this is going to be a really fun show. Episode 102 is basically our first in-season episode for the NASCAR Cup Series. Yes, I did say that, because this weekend the Busch Light Clash is back in Los Angeles. Yes, there is supposedly going to be rain in the forecast, but hey, there are lights, so Bob Hawkers can point to them, and he can also point out to the fact there's drainage at the racetrack, so, you know, let's not panic room yet. It's going to be fine. We're going to have a race on Sunday night, and then we get 2 weeks off, or 1 week off, and then the Daytona 500. If we have 2 weeks off, that means you didn't make the Daytona 500, and that would be pretty sad. And for this edition of our show, speaking of Daytona, we have a former Daytona 500 champion who's going to be sitting in the hot seat later on, and he's a member of the Fox NASCAR team and has been for the last 6 seasons. Yes, it's been that long. I am talking about Jamie McMurray, who is going to be here, and this interview was recorded well in advance of NASCAR Race Hub's 2,500th show, so congratulations to our friend at Fox NASCAR for having that milestone episode this past Monday. We're going to hear a lot from the Fox NASCAR team in these next several weeks, because we want to get you fans all hyped up, or should I say jazzed up, for the NASCAR season. I know I am. I know Jazz is. I can see her in the room with me right now, and she's just, you know, having a ball right now. But
backflips, y'all. Doing backflips.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. She's I can see her across the room right now doing that. So in the TPF studio. So it's all good and fun. Nathan will be back more than likely in a week or two. So if you don't hear from him, don't fret. He will be back. And certainly it will be great to have his insights. But Nathan, enjoy everything that will happen in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas will not stay in Vegas, because we're going to find out what the hell happened anyway. Episode 102 is going to kick off right now. And you just heard from Jazz Sharp, because she has been unleashed from the beast. So Jazz, how are you doing today?
Well, it's been great. Hiding in the TPF basement during the off season, you know. Rob does not force us into the basement. There is no basement. He does not. He's not keep us there during the off season. We do get fed and all that. Doing great, Rob. I am excited. Finally, some good racing. Maybe some tension, maybe some beef going into this. I'm just happy to be here. What about you?
It's as Mamba Smith would say, it's a good day to be alive. So that's my mantra. Doing well, thank you. Doing well as I can, because I'm sure you folks saw on my socials. Unfortunately, I lost my grandmother this past weekend. I'm okay, don't worry. You know, unfortunately, that's the cycle of life, but I was really close to her. She lived 96 years of good memories, good experiences, and I know she would want me to keep doing what I love to do, which is to be in very much doing my show, doing the podcast, doing my writings. So this episode, everything I do this year, we're dedicating to my grandma. So thinking of my family, of course, and everyone who knew her, great woman, I will miss the hugs for sure. And when she plays this game called Potters Potters, which is a Filipino card game where you just basically, it's like matching suits and stuff. And whenever she would win, she'd always slap the side of the table and she'll say, Ayan, which means there it is. So I'm gonna miss that. I know I can't do her voice, but she was a spunky woman, and the world's not as awesome as it used to as it was when she was around, but we'll do our best to make sure her spirit never goes away. So this episode's dedicated to my grandma for sure. But I
And
don't
the
want anyone to
spunk
get
is definitely here for this week, let me tell you. Definitely
Oh
fired
yeah.
up for everything. So,
And probably gonna see a lot of spunk on Sunday night. So we're gonna talk about that and probably get a lot of spunk from fans about our opinions, because apparently you can't have opinions, but we're gonna talk about the opinions on our
Chase Elliott's back?
stream.
What? Oh.
What? He has a blue car?
Oh, I'm not good with numbers, so you'd have to tell me which number that he's driving. So.
I like numbers.
Ah, yes. Now we know. Fun facts.
You go. That's going to be my bio line in my Tinder or dating app. So, ladies, watch out. Anyways, before I humiliate myself any further, let's go hear from our sponsors, who I hope will stick around, spoilerdiecast.com, as you get to hear why you should be shopping there right now. Hey, racing fans, are you in the hunt for the latest diecast cars from Lionel Racing or F1 or IndyCar diecasts? Well, look no further. If you head to spoilerdiecast.com, you'll find all of the latest and greatest diecast cars and get free shipping and 5% off of your orders if you use promo code TPF by spending $20 or more on your items. Head over to spoilerdiecast.com and let Evan and his team know that you want the best diecast cars around. And if you use promo code TPF, you'll be in the winner's circle. It doesn't get better than that, so just head on over to spoilerdiecast.com and make your latest purchases today. Yes, indeed, folks. Use that promo code TPF to get yourself 5% off of any orders of $20 or more on in-stock or pre-order items. And Evan and his team will get those cars or memorabilia out to you in a jiffy. I mean, it's so quick. It makes four tire pit stops back in 1991 look like an oil
Yes.
change.
These Eric Jones cars I got from them. Mwah, chef's kiss. Really, no kidding. They get here super fast. They're well packaged and all that, so you don't need to worry about them getting damaged or anything. Because who wants to open up their box and just pieces of Goodyear tire just fall out and all that? We can't have that.
Can't have that. Can't. Or when your box looks more smushed up than the chicken McNuggets delivered by a certain food delivery company that we can't say because we don't want to anger them.
Felt that. I really did.
See, I see, folks. I'm when I let Jasmine out of the basement. This is what happens. So,
Yes, after how many months has it been since Lester?
like 7 months. No kidding.
4 score and 7 years
Seven
ago.
years ago,
Oh gosh. So, as you
Nathan,
can tell, we are pumped. Like, it is so good to be back. It is so good to actually have cars on the track and not us, playing with our diecast, pretending that they're on a track,
like certain people on the editorial team, me right
Yeah.
now. So, anywho, support our friends at spoilerdiecast.com. We always love to support small businesses. And Evan is actually going to have some good news about his business. So check out the spoilerdiecast.com website, their socials on Instagram and on Twitter slash X. I know you folks are going to be thrilled to hear what he has to say in due time. I already know what the news is, but I'm going to be a gatekeeper and not tell you what that news is. It's just really exciting. So SpoilerDiecast.com for all the latest and greatest in NASCAR, F1, and IndyCar collectibles. I was about to say, Nathan, you're missing out on this show. So,
Yeah, dude, like
anyways,
seriously, huh? It's okay.
the guffaw of our managing editor. How dare he? I'm kidding, bro. It's okay. Anyways, before he hates me and probably won't post this episode on podcasting platforms, he will.
Talked
I'm
about
kidding.
chicken nuggets for 20 minutes. How
I
does that relate
know.
to NASCAR?
Yep, and he's probably gonna hit me in the head with a hammer or something, but don't worry, I'll be all right. You know what time it is with after the intros and our spoiler diecast.com mention. Yes, indeed, folks. It is time for Podium Perspectives, sponsored by spoilerdiecast.com. So, folks, I don't know if you saw on your Netflix. I know you folks have been probably scrolling through and watching your Liam Neeson flicks or that Jennifer Lopez movie that where she's like some bounty hunter and she's
Pokemon
working with
Concierge,
wolves.
actually, man. Sorry. I just.
Or that. Or
Yep,
you
see?
or watching Shia LaBeouf in an Eagle Eye. Hidden gem movie, by the way. Netflix actually had a little cool docu-series that involves stock cars in 5 episodes called NASCAR Full Speed. It was released this past Tuesday, and it seems like the initial consensus is that it's been a pretty good docu-series, and a lot of folks got to see some of the inner workings of these drivers and teams, whether at their shops or with their spouses or at the track, of course, which is where folks usually get to see them during their day jobs. And overall, I mean, I've gotten to see all 5 episodes, and while I don't think it's Drive to Survive, that's a good thing. It's not supposed to be Drive to Survive. It's supposed to be a little sampling of what goes on in the world of NASCAR Cup Series racing. And I liked it. I thought it was good. I would give it about a 7.5, eight out of 10 about that. Do I think certain drivers and teams are featured a little too much more than others? Yes, but I see Chaz looking at me. She's just like, she's like giving me a look like, boy, yeah, I've seen them more than I've seen your face in the last 7 months, Rob. So
Yeah,
before
man, get me out of the basement. God.
I know, we'll just say this much. It got a little spicy on social media because Brad Keselowski was just like, what happened? What about us? So before you hear more of my thoughts, Jazz, I'm sure you've gotten the chance to watch at least a couple episodes, an episode, or seen some snippets of it. I mean, what do you think of NASCAR Full Speed? What are your likes and dislikes about it?
I think it's really cool that Netflix decided to even take a chance with NASCAR. I still find it weird that NASCAR isn't as popular as it was in the early 2000s, all that, because Rob and I, we grew up with that stuff. Like I remember going to school and we'd have a NASCAR day where we're all like, yee, I wear my NASCAR shirt, you wear yours. And we did, right? Like it was just something we did as a group. And I feel like it gives a insight. I don't think it was a big insight because, Brad Keselowski, right? Like it didn't show all the teams. It didn't show all the aspects that NASCAR drivers do have a life. I think that's cool that they featured that. It's just, I hope if they do another season, and I know that would mean that they'd probably need more episodes because, to be real, I mean, 5 episodes going through an entire NASCAR season slash just a taste, and only with the Cup Series too, which is kind of weird. I wish that they would kind of broaden that because people just don't jump into Cup Series nowadays, right? I feel like if they featured a little bit more of the lower tiers and then just more of the race shops in general, because it's not just Hendrick guys that's racing NASCAR. I just want to inform you all. I like Hendrick. I like Chevys. They drive fast, but we got Toyotas and we got Fords too, but I hope they take the critique openly and I hope that NASCAR with that also does. And they've usually been really good about that. Nowadays, it's just like I said, if they were to make it a couple of episodes longer, more delving into like the overall aspects of it from bottom tier, like truck racing, I would say, like from the truck series up, and then feature more of the race car drivers because there's like 36 of them. Like I said, there's more than one. I think it would be cool. So that's my takeaway with it. I give it a 7.5. 7.5. Parker. We love Parker. Yeah. So.
See, great minds think alike, because I gave that same score a few
Yep.
moments ago. Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I think the most vocal individual about wanting to expand a series beyond Cup was Ryan Ellis, because on X, he was just basically like,
Oh, yes.
show more of what goes on, like Alpha
Well,
Prime Racing
Alpha
trying so
Prime
hard.
Racing, yes. Oh my goodness. So him, and then just, I don't know, maybe talking about the people that actually work on the cars more too, because that alone is such a process. I don't think people realize, and I was blessed to get a small taste of it from having mutual friends in the industry and going into their shops and seeing it. But I'd like to let you know they don't come prepackaged, already built, guys. They are built and they're tested, and NASCAR has a lot more science and a lot more technicalities that go into it than what people sometimes realize. So.
And they don't talk to their cars like Robert Duvall, aka Harry Hodge, did in Days of Thunder. So they don't, we were
I
not a little strange out there, you know?
mean, we're kind of strange. I mean,
Yeah.
Star Wars fans out there, you know, some
Star
of them.
Trek.
I mean, I like Star Trek too, just saying.
Yeah, I'm more of a philosopher than I am an action guy, but anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. All I can say is Jadzia Dax. That's it. I didn't say Jadzia Dax. Yeah, though that would be a pretty cool character.
I know.
You could be a Trill for Halloween with the spots on your side or your face and stuff.
Gotta make it happen. Ghost, what do you think? My pit road reporter for this episode, Ghost, currently knocked out, having a great time. So.
Oh, Ghost, I'm glad he's with you, or she's with you. So, anywho, go check out NASCAR Full Speed. Don't go full speed with it. Take your time watching it. And if you haven't watched NASCAR and you somehow came across our podcast, thank you. But also
Yeah.
check out NASCAR Full Speed, because I think it's a good introduction. And yes, there's more than to NASCAR than 2311 and Denny Hamlin. And yeah, you'll see what we're talking about when you watch the docu series. But I was happy to see it, and yeah, maybe I'll have a YouTube video about it, but with not too much obnoxious reactions. So, oh please, people, I know I don't hate me. Okay, it's okay. We can. I know, right? Oh, I will read a funny comment from my YouTube channel before the show ends, but we're doing putting perspectives, and we want to hear perspectives, and you're hearing it from me and Jazz right now. So that's the
Much
our
love.
take. That is our takes on NASCAR Full Speed, but we should actually get into the world of F1 before we get back to NASCAR, because on Thursday, February 1st, not April 1st, April Fool's Day, 2024, the world was sh shaken up quite a bit by this news story that Lewis Hamilton, 7-time F1 world champion, is going to be leaving Mercedes at the end of this season and going to the Prancing Horses to race for Scuderia Ferrari starting next year. Now, if you don't follow F1, let me put it to you like this. Just imagine if Jeff Gordon left Hendrick Motorsports and he joined Joe Gibbs Racing, or Jeff Gordon left Hendrick Motorsports, say after 1999, and decided to join Ray Evernham, or no, better yet, he joined Robert Yates Racing and became the driver of the 28 car with Dale Jarrett as his teammate. Just imagine that, folks.
My head's
That's,
spinning.
yeah, a lot of folks that follow F1, their minds are blown by this, because Lewis and Mercedes, they seemed like they had a really good, symbiotic relationship with each other. Lewis arguably had the greatest success in his career with six of his seven championships coming from that team over in Brackley. But, sometimes, like the Beatles, things just kind of run awry after a certain amount of time. And he's at the age of 39, going to be 40 next year. Obviously, he wants to get one more chance to go and win that eighth championship and maybe walk away from the sport with, his head up high, and knowing he's made it a goal that The only person I can think of that can reach that is Max Verstappen if Red Bull keeps doing what they're doing. But Jazz, I mean, I know you have been asked by friends, by folks in the racing world, what's your opinion on this? So this is your chance. What are
Well,
your
after
thoughts about this?
the Andretti curveball from even earlier in the week, it's one of those moments where you have to read it twice to actually process the information. Like when you said the whole April 1st thing, yeah, like a lot of people thought it was a joke because it is a big deal. It's, as you said, it's like taking Jeff Gordon, I'd say Penske, but hey, you know, it's the same effect, right? Same movement. I wonder, I sort of understand. So the way I think of it as is he wasn't as competitive as he has been. I'm wondering if potentially because of how one-sided it felt last year with a lot of the wins and just, you know, championship winner, Mr. Verstappen. I wonder if he thinks that this is another chance, like running with Ferrari, who they don't have bad equipment. It's not, we're not, we are not saying they have bad equipment. We are not saying they are horrible at their job. I mean, like, they're good. They're good. It's just, I wonder if maybe he wants to get a different perspective. And with working with them, they can bring in something that he didn't get beforehand. And it happens occasionally. I mean, look, Kyle Busch, we could do a current day event. Kyle went over to RCR and all that. He has had some rough bumps here and there since the transition, but I think there's something cooking over there, right? I think there's a potential, and I'm hoping that the same thing happens with Lewis. I mean, he didn't just win all those championships. Like, didn't cheat code it, y'all. I'm just saying he did put in the work and effort. So we'll see what happens. I'm very invested with this overall to see where he goes and if him working with his new teammate and all that, Leclerc, I want to see how they work together and all that and the dynamic. Because who knows? Maybe them working together will bring the best out of both of them, which would be really cool to see.
Those are my same sentiments as well, because he's going to get a really great young teammate in Charles Leclerc, who honestly, he probably needs a teammate like Lewis. Not that Carlos Sainz hasn't done the job for him, but unlike NASCAR, F1's pretty much really dog eat dog, even if you're teammates, because the way it works is that, yes, you have 10 teams, two drivers, two entries. And unlike NASCAR, where there's a bit of a, I mean, yeah, they want to be, go and beat each other on the track. But in F1, your biggest rival is not, the guy in Red Bull. It's your actual teammate. You want to go and destroy him on the track, performance-wise. So over the years, I mean, Charles Leclerc basically has assumed themselves to be the number one driver for Scuderia Ferrari. All of a sudden, you get a guy with the pedigree of Lewis Hamilton. There's going to be a little bit of a tension, or as you like to say, a little bit of beef going on, maybe. I mean, Lewis has made it known he really thinks highly of Charles. They get along, obviously, as you've seen in press conferences. And I think even Charles was pressed about this last year out of the blue. And Lewis happened to be like a few drivers away from him in, the group press conference. So he was like, "Hello, Lewis." So obviously they're pretty friendly with each other. But as we saw with the McLaren, I thought it was going to be a slam dunk when Lando Norris got paired up with Daniel Ricciardo, and I thought
Yeah.
that was going to be an awesome combination. Like Daniel Ricciardo's with a team that has a competitive car, he's got a great teammate in Lando. They're both goofballs. It's going to work. And no, it didn't work out. So.
Which is, yeah, you bring that up, and I still find that weird too, because they were goofballs, and I guess that's my takeaway from this too, is I wonder how long that they've been holding on to this news, just considering how much of a bombshell it's been too.
And a lot of folks out there are saying this could not have come at a better time because of what you mentioned, the whole Andretti situation. So if you've been hiding under a rock, obviously you know that Michael Andretti's trying to get a Formula One team into F1 as soon as possible to have a legitimate American team. Not that Haas Racing is not, but like a familiar name, a recognized brand name from America racing in F1. And while the FIA approved them, F1's like, nah, don't want you around. So I do think it's
disappointing.
Crazy.
It is. It really is. For those who don't know Andretti's, which I know that's a very small amount. I mean, I can't even list the accomplishments. I mean, it's when I learned that the F1 like rejected them because they have such a long list of accomplishments and achievements that racing teams want. It's not just a, oh yeah, you won a couple of races here. Oh no, like they dominated. Like there's a reason why the Andretti, you bring that name up, right? You bring up Dale Earnhardt, right? Andretti. Like it kind of goes in the same tier, right? Excellence, top notch. So, but sadly, this isn't the first time that the Andretti family has had to deal with this. There's been issues since even the 80s, which I can't even, I think I shared the article with the rest of the group for TPF, I think earlier in the week, which is ridiculous. It hurts because F1 is trying to get Americans to pull for them. But I feel like this wasn't the move. This was not the move. Like, I don't know exactly, like, they gave their reasoning. So I hope that they let it soak in and maybe they reconsider next year or something like that. And it's not a permanent no.
I always say that no is a later yes, unless it's a really, like, there's no point in return. We know it's going to happen eventually, the way I see it, because it's always going to come down to what ABBA sang about. Money, 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 lots of money,
money
in a rich man's world. Sorry, I sang. Anyways, I think that's what it's going to come down to, is they want to see a bit more moolah, and then we'll get to see another quality team, an 11th team. It is a bit silly that the 10 teams apparently said no to them, because I think if you really want to make F1 competitive, I think at least one, two more teams at most is going to make the field a little bit more intriguing. Because let's face it,
yeah,
it's like watching iRocky. You know that there's only going to be so many, only one team right now that's going to win. If you have another team or two more teams, you're not watering it down. You're actually making it better. So we'll see what happens out of that situation. It's here in America, it's crazy. I don't know how it's like in the rest of the world about this news, but in America, let's just say we're taking it a little bit personally, and to
salty.
Use, it's a little salty. What was the wording in that RCR tweet from years ago? This could not have come at a worse time.
Well, I can't repeat it because there's swear words in it, but my friend who's an IndyCar driver, Connor Daly, his reaction, like, summed it up. He dropped an F-bomb, basically. He's like, this is the biggest F-bomb decision ever, something like that. And like I said, I hope they reconsider. I really do, because I agree with you on your points on that. I'm not saying make it like a 36 car field, because like that would be a little bit too chaotic considering, but 20 cars, basically 10 if you cut it down in half because of the teammate situation and all that. Like, you want competition. Competition brings out better results for everybody, in my opinion, because then you're trying to reach for the top, and race fans love seeing competition. They love seeing storylines develop. It's like wrestling, right? People like wrestling because it's storylines. I like a good storyline with my race. And how about you, Rob?
I do too. I mean, you want to see as many people out there rather than like, oh, that's it. That's all we have. It's like going to the buffet at your favorite restaurant and you're like, huh. So that's my thoughts. As you can tell, folks, we're a little hungry as of this recording. So send us some food after the show.
Yeah, trapped in that basement, guy.
We're all trapped in this basement. Oh, Lord. Nathan's probably wondering what the hell's going on. That's okay.
All
anyway.
We got to do is play NASCAR Heat 1 through 4, basically, and just kind of grind off of that. It's okay.
Exactly. NASCAR Heat. Oh, no, we did better. We did NASCAR 21 Technician, or whatever it's called.
Yep, you're right. Oh, great, great.
Great game.
I can't even say it without dying a little bit on the inside. So,
GG.
meet you guys. Wonderful. We love games.
Oh, I love games. Just like oh God. I'm trying to think of this R&B artist that goes. Oh, we'll talk about it at some point. I don't want to make this all about music
Memory
because then I'll
lane,
bring.
yes.
Yeah, Memory Lane. It's like I like the way. Oh, the Kissing Game song. Never mind.
The way you work
This
it,
is.
no diggity.
No. It's an 80s song. It's
Yep,
like
you'll
I
have to send me the
like
link
the
on that.
way. Oh, I'll certainly send it to you. Oh
Look,
yes,
we've
I
been
like
sending
the.
links of like SpongeBob stuff and like VeggieTales during this, guys. So don't worry, the good stuff is happening here in the
Oh,
background.
and I may have sent Jazz a link to a certain song from Days of Thunder
Yeah, man. Yeah,
during
it's reliving stuff.
the
It's fun.
sugar packet scene with Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise. No, we're not actually doing that right now. That because we're a family show, so nothing.
Also, the doctors recommend that you don't eat just sugar either. That's how you get diabetes. We try to eat something more of substance as well, so
Trying to occupy all the food pyramid right now.
I don't want to. I don't want to overtake that. I don't want. I gotta eat healthy.
Exactly. And I was gonna say the song that I was thinking of is called "I Like the Way the Kissing Game" by High Five, and it was from 1990, folks. Yes, 34 years ago. How is that possible?
Gonna be 30 this year. Why did you bring that up?
It's okay. Spoiler alert: your 30s are going to be awesome.
Speaking of awesome, what else we got going on here for our perspectives this week?
Oh yeah, so going back to racing, let's
Yes.
actually talk about the new combinations that have been seen in the world of NASCAR. So I won't name them all because you probably will need a program rather than hearing me and Jazz just list them all out. But let's just stick to the NASCAR Cup Series, the top three series, NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Truck Series. We know that in the Truck Series, we've got Lane Riggs now driving the number 38 truck for Front Row Motorsports, previously driven by Zane Smith, who is now in the NASCAR Cup Series as a rookie, driving for the number 71 entry. He technically is with Trackhouse Racing, but it's being fielded by Spire Motorsports. And oh, by the way, he's got a new teammate this year in the Cup Series, namely Carson Hocevar from Portage, Michigan. And he's only 21 years old, which is insane to say that age and think that was from 1990. No, 2003. Holy moly. Anyways, he's driving
Yeah,
for Spire
I grew a few
Motorsports.
gray hairs there too. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh
Yeah.
man. The Just for Men or the Revlon I'm using is starting to fade from this. So we got these two truck veterans now in the Cup Series, and they're only in their 20s, so that's crazy. Also, too, in the Xfinity Series, we got Sammy Smith moving from Joe Gibbs Racing to Junior Motorsports. And oh, by the way, Sheldon Creed. He has left RCR. He did go to Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yes,
And
he
then
did.
of Eric Almirola moved over back to Joe Gibbs Racing as a part-time
Crazy.
driver in the Xfinity Series.
Crazy considering that history, if some people look into that. Oh my goodness. So.
It is nuts. But hey, if Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck got back together, I suppose that's possible too.
Anything's possible. You're right. Yes.
See, we're connecting pop culture one by one. So, I mean, those are just examples of the new combinations that have happened before the beginning of the season. So, Jazz, what of the combinations I've mentioned, or any new combinations I've yet to mention, which one do you think is going to shock us the most, like in terms of
Well,
potential?
I think so. Bringing up because the Clash is this weekend as we're recording this and all that. Last minute announcement like popped up. It's not the fact that Josh Williams is racing in college racing, like he's an Xfinity, but the fact that they're letting him drive Cup the races. I'm actually very interested to see how he does because it's a short track. Like, I think Colin kind of has it figured out. They're like, AJ, road courses, right? AJ does road courses. Mwah, chef's kiss. That's what he does, right? So seeing Josh's first race with Colin is going to be with them on the Cup team. I guess I'm excited. Brendan Poole, I wouldn't say it's so much as a shock, but I feel like it'll be a step up. Brendan Poole moving from JD Motorsports up to Alpha Prime Racing. I think that will be really cool. Just seeing that team personally and how everyone works together. You have actually a lot of guys that worked at JD that are working with Alpha Prime now. So it's cool to see that because there's a close connection. It's a small world, I guess you could call it, on that side of things. I'm excited to see what happens. Brennan has a lot of potential, so see how good he makes left turns and goes super fast. Very excited about that. So, and just John Hunter Nemechek, actually. So with Legacy switching over to Toyota, which I still, that's kind of weird to me, because like I know Petty has switched what they've driven, you know, a lot. Like they've driven Chevy, Ford, Pontiac. I mean, they've done everything. It's a rainbow, but it's the first time that it's a foreign, like it's not American, I guess you could say. It's Toyota, but him driving with Eric and all that will be interesting, because Noah last season, he is like the goofball, right? John Hunter Nemechek is very serious about this. It's a passion, right? I mean, I'm not saying that Noah took it as a joke and all that. He didn't. I mean, he worked his butt off to get back into racing. He's with Haas now. So that'll be cool, but we'll see. I'm just kind of nervous about it. So what are your perspectives, the biggest shocks and all that with this season?
I think for me, honestly, it would have to be Shane Van Gisbergen going to full-time Xfinity Racing. I mean, it was understood that he would get a good crash course. I don't mean accident course, like a good dive into stock car racing. But I never imagined a even conceive the thought that he would do full-time racing in a series dedicated to a series. So it's an awesome opportunity for him to be with Colic Racing in the number 97 entry this coming season in Xfinity. So I'm curious to see how he'll take to an oval, not just like Daytona or Atlanta. I'm talking about more the technical ones. Like, how will he fare at Martinsville? How is he going to, you know, deal with Bristol? Dover, all of these tracks that, you know, are physically demanding and are a little bit different from what he was used to in V8 supercars. He's not the first one, of course, that's made the move from Australia and New Zealand to go to the US. We had Marcos Ambrose here.
Oh my goodness, bless that
years
man.
Ago.
Yes. You know? Yes.
And the fact that he ate a Vegemite during a NASCAR on Speed Channel show, which I thought
made
was
everyone
absolutely
eat it.
Yeah, I was a little disgusted by that. Oh, man. I was just like, oh, there goes my dinner.
Yeah, Vegemite's not my fave either. Speaking of Shane and all that, I think he's doing some ARCA-related stuff, too, and all that, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, he'll be the ARCA opener.
That's what I think my shock would be with that. It's not just the fact he's, like, in one series, but he is... He said, I want to learn everything, and they threw him in an ocean of learning. An ocean. He's going to learn a lot. And I hope it doesn't burn him out too quick. I hope if things, because my concern is things might not go the way he wants them to at first with results, but I hope he puts his foot in it. He just keeps at it, because like, I don't think people realize how much of a change it is to go from one type of racing. Even though the cars are similar to a completely different type, it's, and just being on the other side of the globe too. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. And the fact that he won Chicago last year, like, oh, that's so cool. That's still, it still makes me smile. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
And
hopefully he doesn't smash a kangaroo on the car instead of like a watermelon or a taco, you know? So
hopefully people will actually say his last name correctly this year.
I'm sure at the media center, they will have a presentation before every race. Ladies and gents, this is how you properly pronounce it. Say it with us. And it's like, you know, being in kindergarten all over again when you're learning to read.
Shane Van Gisbergen. Shane Van Gisbergen. So it's not that hard.
No. So...
It's almost like if you folks have seen the recordings of TPF Live, you probably have noticed that I've had to spell, like, I'd have a phonetical spelling, like, pronunciation of my name. You folks don't screw it up. So It's not Rob Chiongson or Thongson or whatever. It's T Yongson. So Shane Van Gisbergen. See, I could say it. So if I could do it, you can too. So he will be also racing in seven cup events this year. So
Yes.
they announced that today, actually on Thursday. He'll race at COTA. He'll race Talladega, the Coke 600. He's going to defend his race title at the Chicago Street Course, and hopefully this time we get a full race. It's been short. The distance got shortened because, let's face it, even if rain didn't happen, the original distance, which is absurd. He'll also go to Watkins Glen and then conclude his cup stint with Colleague Racing. Ooh, this is going to be an unusual one, but hey, more power to him. Las Vegas Motor Speedway, a playoff race that's pretty pivotal to making the championship four. So
You
talk
know
about
what? Wreck the
pressure.
whole field. I believe in you, Shane. Let's do it. Let's put the
Oh
odds
my
in our favor.
gosh.
I'm kidding.
OSVG, we love you. We hope that you'll actually get to be a guest on TPF Live. So stay tuned for that if he will stop by, because that will be pretty cool to get his perspectives as the season goes on. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, a lot of good combinations. And what we didn't mention is, JGR has two all-star car teams as well in Xfinity. We'll talk more about that as the year progresses. So stay tuned for that. And also to, oh boy, Daytona in a couple of weeks. So you know how we do our Daytona podcasts. It's going to probably be a supersized edition of our show. So you'll hear from a lot of people on different perspectives for the Daytona preview in a couple of weeks. The suspense, I know. Hang in there, folks. Yeah, lots of excitement, like Jimmy Spencer. Anywho, oh
And
goodness, Mr. Excitement. I'll never forget, like Jimmy Spencer. Now, sticking to predictions, let's get a little bit crazy, as Bob Ross would say, because it's now time for us to make our too early to call predictions. So let's each predict who we think will win this year's Truck, Xfinity, and Cup championships. So, of course, I'm a gentleman, so Jazz goes first because she's a lady. And then after the lady speaks, then the dude speaks. So, Jazz, take it away. Give us our predictions.
such pressure. Oh, pressure. Oh, okay. All right. Trucks, Corey Heim. I feel like if him and Josefar didn't have their issues last year, I think it would have worked out. I think he would have. I've chatted with some of the guys that work over there, and his goal is to win. He is so determined this year. He is like, we're gonna get it, we're gonna win more. He is set. So I think for that and the truck team would be the top of the line. For Xfinity, I feel like it's just, I think it's going to be a junior motorsports vehicle. I mean, duh. But I'd like Justin Allgaier. I mean, man's worked his butt off. You know, why not celebrate? He's getting up there in age too and all that. I feel like that would just be something well worth it considering how far he's come overall career wise. Cup, that's where. It's like chaos. I because there's just so much that's going on in the cup level with people that have moved from here to there, different like you have a different field kind of at this point because you have like over for Spire, you have like two new drivers over there, just let alone like which is cool. I like that. But there's a lot more going into play. You have a lot of people that have shifted. Like I said, we spoke of earlier, like Gregson going from Legacy over to Haas. Hunter Nemechek making his name known yet again in the Cup Series. And then Jimmy is even racing like this year. It's not full time, of course, but he's still at the reins. So I would like for it to be a 2311 car. I'm thinking Tyler. And the reason why is because they found something last year. They found something at one point and they were really cooking up something really great. And I think with the shift, they've moved into their new 2311 building. It's gorgeous, by the way. I cannot wait for them to open it up for the public so then people can see it and all that. But I think that shift, not having to work in two separate buildings from the old Rickware facility and just having more room. And you got people, Kurt Busch, bless that man, he's still working with them over there at 2311. Having such a great person to look up to, I think that really helped both Tyler and Bubba last year overall. And I just, I'm really looking forward to it. So, what do you got cooking over there, Rob? What do you got?
So for my too early to call season championship picks, I actually have thought about this really quickly. So for the truck series, I am going to go Christian Eckes to win it. I thought when he started to win races last year, it really showcased his confidence. And I know the playoffs didn't go quite ideally for him, but if he can string along some consistency with those victories, he'll be pretty tough to beat. So I'm going to go with him for that. In the Xfinity series, you know, we didn't mention this guy's name too much, but Sheldon Creed, I think he's going to be really good in JGR. So I liked what I see with that. We know that, you know, JGR's Xfinity program, let's face it, it's pretty stacked. I'm really impressed with what they got talent-wise on that team. And even the crew chief combinations for this coming season is really good. I almost said next year because I'm still getting used to the fact that we're in the year 2024. Forgive me, folks. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Sheldon can do with crew chief Sam McCauley. I think it's going to be a great situation for him. But let's also not forget AJ Allmendinger coming back to the Xfinity Series. And he is going to be working with Alex Yontz. He's actually got some experience working with Mr. Yontz. I think last year, actually, they won at COTA, a race that he challenged me to sing in front of the assembled press. I don't know why he thought Baby Got Back was the choice. I was going to go with something a little bit more safe.
Bless that man. He just.
We're probably going to hear a lot from him this year, and I'm sure he'll roast me quite a bit. But it's okay. I've got a sense of humor, believe it or not, folks. I do.
Oh, man. Bless if he gets any of his humor and all that. Oh, it's downhill from here.
Oh, it almost happened last year, Jazz. You should have been there. So, but I'm going to go with Sheldon Creed, but I can't dismiss AJ as a potential favorite. But I'm going to go with Sheldon for now because I don't want to seem like, you know, this is the Nepotism Network, TNN. That was an old joke from the 90s, so sorry that went over your head, folks. The Cup Series, this one's easy for me. I think William Byron's going to win it all this year, just because I was so impressed with their 6-win season, and it's such a shame that we have to go to a one-race-wins-it-all format, because it was kind of a punishment for William Byron, or anybody who had great years, and then it comes down to one race. I know we're wanting to have a Game 7 moment, but William Byron really deserved last year's championship. He was not only consistent, he won a lot of races in the next gen era. To win 6 races in a field that is so stacked where unpredictability happens, that's amazing. We also know that Rudy Fugel and him, they're just gelling really well. I think they're clicking just as well as a former combination in the number 24 team. I'm talking about Jeff Gordon and Ray Evernham, of course. It reminds me a lot of those years in the 90s.
Yes, now you bring that up. Their chemistry is great, but if, like we said, talking about the Netflix documentary, they go into that, how much, oh my gosh, Byron works his butt off. He really is focused, and I think that's starting to pay off. Like, it, you know, you bring that Byron back, I'd love to see him win a championship. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you folks got to see him working out. I mean, this kid, he's not just some person who's sitting at his computer and practicing on iRacing. He actually puts in the effort to be physically fit, which I know Nathan got a good glimpse of after the race at Martinsville. He was there when most people were cooked, and I know he was feeling pretty cooked, but all that work, those efforts in the gym, just, you know, bulking up with muscles, his core energy and all, I can tell you, when you get in good shape, man, you can pretty much push through the most challenging of conditions and even the most ill-tempered race car. I know he didn't have the best of finishes at Martinsville, but man, he really grinded through that whole situation like a real champion. So I think the 24 is going to be the one to beat. I do think the one concern that I have with that pick, though, is the fact that the Fords and the Toyotas have new noses for the season. So, of course, the Camry is resembling what the 2025 model looks like on the streets. It's a bit Tesla looking, in my opinion, but so be it. And then, of course, the Ford Mustang is now rebranded or rebadged as the Ford Mustang Dark Horse. I know a lot of our TPF team doesn't like that car, or they don't like that car, rather. I almost sounded like Larry McReynolds. They don't doesn't like that
Larry
car.
McNugget of the of TPF
Oh man,
recording there
this is
you
when I moved to Texas. I'm starting to talk with the Southern right now. I'm kidding, I'm kidding. But I think that the Ford Mustangs are going to be really tough. I mean, just looking at the silhouette of the car, when I looked at the paint scheme preview, I was just so amazed at how much work that the Ford camp has put in into making a much more aerodynamic, downforce friendly kind of car. So I think they're going to give Chevrolet a run for their money, but Hendrick Motorsports, every time they're put to the task of a new challenge, they typically respond with more of the same, with wins. So this is not the
pressure.
28. Yeah, they respond to pressure. So this is not 2018 when we know that the Camaro came out, and if you're a Chevrolet fan, you were dreading that year. If you were a fan of Ford or Toyota, you were loving that season with the big three
Thank
of
you.
Truex, Harvick, and Kyle Busch. So no, that we're not going to have any of that. It'll be pretty diverse in terms of parity. So those are our two early call picks. Remember those picks because on a future episode of TPF Live, a certain respected member of the NASCAR media community may have made the same picks as me.
Can't wait to hear all about that.
Yeah, so just letting you know, sometimes great minds do think alike. So stay tuned for that. I love putting people in suspense. And I think you'll hear those opinions next week. So anywho, now that we've done our two early the call picks, let's stick with predictions because we're now on our first NASCAR edition of Winning Time. Yes, my favorite segment of the segment. And it's named after Jack Edwards' favorite thing to say for Boston Bruins telecasts in the last 7 minutes of a game. He'll typically say, "When we come back, it's winning time." So, as you know, folks, this is when we give our picks to win a race. But to change things up from previous years for the Clash preview, rather than naming a definitive pick for the win, we're going to give three drivers you should watch on Sunday night to potentially win the race, because we know it's unpredictable. It's not like any other cup race except for the All-Star race, which we gave our opinions about last week. So again, Jazz will go first, then I'll follow after her. Jazz, why don't you give us your three potential picks to win on Sunday night at LA?
Joey Logano. And then I'm gonna do one from each manufacturer. I feel like that equalize it a little bit. Chevy. Wanna say Elliot because I feel like something, man, something that got sense going on. The Chase Elliott sense is kicking off. And then for Toyota Camp. I want to say Martin. I want to say Truex Jr. I something, man. I'm sure I'm going to be wrong. They'll wreck within like the first like 10 laps of the event. I'm just going to text Rob and be like, well, because that was like last year's whole thing. A lot of my driver picks that I had, and it wasn't that they were bad, it's just bad predicaments and just wrecks. And it was just not a good time for me. What do you got, Rob?
I like where you're going with the whole parity thing, so I'm going to stick with that too with the OEMs. So for Toyota, I like where you're going with Truex. I actually am going to go with Tyler Reddick to win if he were to be the winning pick from Toyota, just because I, like you said, they're onto something. They've moved to a new shop. They're not having to be in separate buildings anymore. And there's no better thing to start the year with a victory. I know it's not a points race, and I know there's going to be that week gap between LA and Daytona. But let's face it, when you win the Clash, you get to enter Daytona with a little bit of swagger on your side. So if Toyota has a winner on Sunday night, I'm going to go with Tyler Reddick. On the Ford side, this is a tough one just because, I mean, Joey Logano would be an obvious one because he won it in 2022. But I. Ooh, I actually think it could be Chris Buescher, just based off what I saw from him in the last part of last year, winning at Richmond and just being all around a very well-balanced driver from the Ford Performance Camp. So I think RFK Racing will have something to talk about with Chris Buescher on Sunday night if Ford were to win. I didn't want to snub Ryan Blaney, but he hasn't had the greatest of luck in LA. So
Yeah.
don't,
I mean,
yeah.
he can throw a Hans device at my car anytime. That's all I gotta say. So.
If Daisy Ridley's there, I think Gianna might not be too happy about that. So
Oh, bless.
I'm not trying to start something, I promise. I'm kidding. Anyways, so that's my fourth pick. I'm gonna go with Chris Buescher. Now from the Chevrolet camp, I know people are saying, you're gonna say Kyle Larson, aren't you? Although he has two top fives in a row, no, I won't go with him. Although I do think he'll be one of the favorites on Sunday night, provided that they do transfer in and, of course, have a good starting position. Although last year he started 15th and he still went up to fifth place with a pretty bruised up looking car. I like where you're going with Chase Elliott because, let's face it, the man needs a victory. I'm sure fans of his camp are just sick and tired of the winless streak and thinking of Watkins Glen. So I think Alan and Chase want to, start things off with that nice looking pearl white car and get to victory lane. I think, having one of the sport's biggest names winning this race would be a blessing and make people forget about the squabbling that's going on with the whole charter situation, which it's beyond my
Oh,
expertise. I don't want to get into
I
that. It's
yeah
a
no,
mess.
that's like asking us to like do chemistry right now. I just that too many letters and numbers, and I can't do either.
Yep. So we're gonna stay out of that camp, the whole situation. I like where you're going with Chase Elliott to win on Sunday night. I am gonna say if it's not gonna be either him or Kyle Larson, I am gonna be a little bit crazy with this pick. I think Alex Bowman.
I
I
thought you were
don't
going to
know
say
why.
Jeff Gordon. I was going to say yes, put him back in the car, and I was going to laugh. But Bowman,
Why
he had a,
not?
I actually like that because Bowman, up until his back injury and all that, was actually doing really well last season. I think that kind of put a kink in things. I mean, breaking your back isn't just a small thing. So I wonder if during the off season, if between that and then Chili Bowl and all that, if he did some prepping and. Wonder if, wonder, I wonder. I like that. I like your thinking. I do.
And he was pretty good in the short tracks before, the back situation from that high limit racing accident happened. So
Yeah.
I think him and Blake are trying super hard to have a good start to the year. Blake's a really talented crew chief over there in the 48 camp, and I know for Blake, he had to work with different drivers. That's not easy. Not to mention, he had to work with a driver who was at less than 100%. So with Alex being totally dedicated to driving that cup car all year long, and Ally being on their corner for quite a bit of time. Not to
Oh, yeah.
mention that they got a, I'm going to sound like my nephew who's 7 years old going on eight this year. They've got a sick looking paint scheme or wrap for this year.
Oh, my
So I
gosh. I
like it.
still love their Halloween one. Oh, my gosh. The one with the bats and all of that, too. No, they has had some really good paint schemes. I love their stuff.
And I'm just trying to give a little love to the state of Michigan. So,
And fangirling slightly. It's okay. Don't worry. It's fine. It's cool.
I am not paid by the State Tourism Board of Michigan, nor are we sponsored by Ally Bank. Although, if I were, that would be pretty sweet because I love the fact that they offer early payday. So,
We love,
anywho,
I like payday in general. Yeah.
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 But
So.
I'm with a competitor of Ally. But anyways, you're not here to hear about my financial situation. Although if you do want to support TPF, email me or message me on LinkedIn. We can talk about that. But those are our picks for the Busch Light Clash. And in fact, those are our opinions on podium perspectives. We covered a wide base. It's almost like the food pyramid that we just did in that one segment, folks. Pretty productive stuff. So what do you think? Did we have the right picks about the new combinations, the too early to call season championship picks, or the fact that we get any of our OEM picks right for Sunday night's clash? Let us know on our socials. Jazz's social is pretty much the same as it was from last
There's
year.
letters and numbers in it. It's okay.
There's quite a bit of letters and numbers. In fact, I am going to do a cheat situation. I almost felt like I couldn't say Madison Square Garden Rush Hour blooper reference for you folks.
I couldn't even. Oh, I felt that too. I nope.
Anyway. So, if you want to follow Jazz on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, her social handle on that is still Jazz6530086. It's not some, don't worry, she's not in Easter eggs. And she's not one of those bots that,
Not a cheat code either. I'm sorry. I
that's
tried
not.
using that to get out of the basement for racing and
Didn't
didn't work.
work.
No.
Didn't work. And I promise you, she's not an AI bot, so.
I'm not Matt Kenseth either. I'm not a robot.
Oh man. Oh, don't. I was gonna make a fun little conspiracy theory that would make people want to talk about Matt Kenseth as an AI driver. Don't worry, I'm not
Oh,
gonna do that.
spicy.
Yeah, that could be a fan fiction idea for you creative folks out there. But yeah, that's
Today
Jazz's
on
X.
the NASCAR iceberg, Matt Kenseth is a robot. Okay,
It's an
well.
AI bot. Oh man. Sorry, Jess Rolick. We love Matt. So that's Jazz's X handle. And then, of course, on Instagram, I'm pretty sure this is a reference to, I think, Silent Hill, if I'm
Resident Evil,
smart,
my man,
or Resident
but
Evil,
yes.
close enough. Her Instagram handle is still jill.sandwich.96. So follow her on her socials and don't stalk her. Don't give away her location like a certain journalist who has won several NMPA awards did. On
Yeah,
in
I live in a Walmart,
2022.
by the way, guys.
Oh,
Hide.
yeah.
Hide in
Yeah.
Walmart. Yeah,
Yeah.
see me lurking.
She's probably by the food section.
And?
Guilty as charged.
you.
So
Sorry.
so give her some follows, show her some love, because she's going to be on this podcast quite a bit, probably. In fact, probably next week again, because I have a feeling that Nathan's going to be too busy on Radio Row with the beautiful people while we good-looking people get to hang out with each other. But anyways, those are
Hey,
Jazz's.
woo! Three for
Woo!
Jazz! Yeah!
Good-looking people, not great or beautiful. We're just good-looking.
We're just here.
Oh,
It's okay.
it's okay. We'll get by. So those are her social media handles, and of course for me, it's the same as it ever was. It's at Rob Tionkson. So follow me, and we'll be cool. Now, why don't we segue over to the all-important hot seat segment featuring Jamie McMurray. Welcome back to another edition of In the Hot Seat here on the Podium Finish and the Podium Finish Live. I'm Rob Tionkson, and on this edition of In the Hot Seat, our first of 2024, I am so excited to have a really iconic race car driver to kick off the new year. He's the 2010 Daytona 500 champion. And oh, by the way, he also won the 2010 Brickyard 400, which is back this year. So who better to bring in 2024 than with Fox NASCAR commentator and analyst, Jamie McMurray. Jamie, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I hope you and your family had a great holiday season. And just to kick things off, I know that the Fox NASCAR season's just about to kick off, and you've been an analyst since 2019. So just to kick things off, I'm curious, what's it been like to be in this full-time capacity with them for the last 5 years and serve as an occasional host for Race Hub?
Yeah, it's been a great journey. I've learned, I mean, what if I could go back? And I would tell all drivers this: if you could do TV first and then go drive the car, you would understand things so much better. A lot of what TV asks you to do doesn't always make sense, during the year when you're driving. But now being on the TV side, knowing what they're trying to get or why they are doing the ask that they are, it makes complete sense. So it's been fun to see the other side and just kind of learn TV. It's been a, I didn't think of, I never really thought about when I went to do TV that it would be a second career, but that's what it's turned into, and I really enjoy it.
And a lot of fans seem to love your works as well, because when you've been in the booth a few times and when you've hosted Race Hub a few times, social media seems to love what you do because you bring a lot of relevance from what you've done in the racetrack to your personality on the camera. I mean, Is it kind of a natural fit where you're just like, all right, Jamie, I'm just going to be myself in front of these folks?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that people, when I raced, and my wife used to tell me this, and I never knew that this happened, but she would talk about on race weekends or race morning, how you would turn into a different person. And I would lose any sense of humor that I had because I was just, you know, I was so focused on the racing. And I think some guys do a better job of balancing that. I did not. I was just all in, and that's kind of how my life is. So I don't know that people ever got to, I don't think people ever, you know, like, especially fans ever knew that I had a sense of humor or that I like to joke around. And TV's allowed me to kind of open up to some of that, you know, and whether it's just, you know, doing Race Hub, I've learned that, you know, I thought doing TV that you went on, it was going to be like super structured, you know, super, just, you know, serious. And I've just learned so much that it's about having fun and laughing. And if, you know, like being witty is so valuable because when something happens live on TV, there's nothing funnier than those bloopers or those moments that aren't scripted, that just happen naturally.
That sounds like to me that you had a good crash course on all of this, maybe even 20 years beforehand, because one of your first teammates was Sterling Marlin. And it's no secret that he was kind of a comedian himself. So do you think he kind of rubbed off on you 20 years later?
I don't know about that. Sterling's humor was a little different than what mine was. But he was a fun teammate. I really enjoyed getting to have him as a teammate.
Yeah, it sounds like to me, Jamie, that Sterling was quite the influence on you, but you've always had a great personality, in my opinion. And it's been showing, especially even after your last start in the Daytona 500 back in 2021. So I'm just curious, what's it like to share those experiences when you were a race car driver, you know, especially driving the Gen 6 car, which is the last one since the next gen, and then bring it home to the audiences so that they can, number one, understand what you're saying and believe you, and number two, that it comes from an authentic voice and tone.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times when you think about sharing experiences, I don't try to get too technical with like the car stuff, because I think that's kind of easy to explain. You can show, you know, graphics of rules changes or cars, but the emotions that a driver feels, I do know what those are. And I think every driver handles that differently. Anyone who watched any of my victory interviews, I typically cried because it meant so much to me. And it was emotional because of how hard I'd worked to get there. And so I enjoy being able to share, you know, what I feel like a driver's thinking, whether it's in a win or if it's, you know, coming to the last restart and your you know, your heart beating out of your chest, knowing what's on the line. I enjoy being able to try to share with people and explain, you know, what the drivers are feeling in that exact moment.
And I think it shows, because I think that's where like folks love AJ Allmendinger, for instance, and they loved you back then. I mean, the picture in my background that people can see in the video interview, I mean, you showed so much emotion in 2010. And let me ask you very briefly about 2010, when you won those races at Daytona, Indianapolis, and Charlotte, was it kind of like one of those, don't pinch me because if I do, this might be a dream kind of a year for you?
Yeah, the Daytona 500 was really special because, you know, just 4 or 5 months before that, I didn't even know if I would be racing anymore. You know, I'd been in the Cup Series at that point 6 years, and I'm like, maybe this is it. You know, the economy had kind of flipped upside down the few years prior to that. Sponsorships were harder than ever to find. There weren't as many teams, and I was so fortunate that, you know, Ganassi, who I'd driven for before, had an opening with Truex leaving, and we worked really hard to make that all work out with Bass Pro Shops initially, and then bringing McDonald's on board. But to go from not knowing if you're going to be employed to then winning the, you know, biggest race in NASCAR, it was pretty unbelievable. And then that whole season, you know, we should have won the Coke 600. I finished second in that race, the Southern 500 that year. I finished second in, and then to be able to win Indy, ran second at Talladega. Like, it was pretty unbelievable season. And on top of all that, that's the year that my wife, Christy, and I, we had our first child. So Carter was born. It was a pretty awesome year.
I love that. And that's probably the best part of 2010, not just the wins, your son's birth that year. And we got to even see a little bit of what Carter does these days because earlier in 2023, they showed a great documentary of you, your father, and your son at the go-kart track. I think it in Mooresville. And I thought it was such a touching documentary because it was clear that you're sharing your bond of racing with your father, but also you're getting to be your dad, to be a dad to Carter. I mean, what was it like to show this vulnerable personal side to your life and showing what Carter does, continuing your family's legacy in racing?
Yeah, it's been the journey with Carter has been really fun, and it's one of the more frustrating things that I've ever done. It's also like the most satisfying. But when we first started karting, I've used that as a life lesson and shown him that if you want to be successful at anything, it doesn't matter if it's just racing, it could be your schoolwork. If you want to do well, you have to work hard at it. Like, it doesn't come easy. And that's why, I mean, that's part of the reason that I would get emotional when I would win, because I knew how hard I'd work to get there. And then when that work pays off, it's super satisfying. But that journey with Carter has been fun. We're gonna move up and do some Legends car races this year. So he's kind of transitioning, which is a little scary because it's your kid and you're putting him in these faster cars. But it's also really fun to kind of watch him grow as a driver. And he has the same passion that I did when I was his age. So I hope it works out for him. It's a hard journey.
I'm sure. And I bet your dad felt the same way too when you were the one driving in karts and obviously in stock cars. He probably had to be as nervous as you are for Carter. And had folks told you how much Carter looks a lot like you when you were that age, like how the resemblance is there?
Honestly, with our kids, when we go out, typically people say that Carter looks like my wife and that my little girl Hazel looks more like me. It's so funny because Carter has like such a different, he's so quiet. I feel like compared to me, which is a lot more like Christy.
I like that. And I think it's such a cute family dynamic that you guys have. When I watch it, my family are watching it. My mom's like, I hope Carter makes it. And I was just like, too, he's such a good kid. And I just love how you're so nurturing to him and coaching him too about how to work hard, which it shows in your career. And that's one of the things that makes you such a very liked driver and personality these days. And let's go tap into that analyst mind of yours because 2024, the season's kicking off with a clash and of course Fox's portion of the season. I've got to ask, who are some drivers we have to keep our eyes on at the beginning of this year?
Well, every year, whoever ends strong seems like they start the following season strong. I mean, Blaney's going to be the favorite for the Daytona 500, no doubt. Being able to win the championship, the fact that he won, the last super speed race we were at Talladega. So I'm going to say he's probably going to be the favorite at the beginning of the year. As well as I think Brad and Buescher from RFK. It's been pretty impressive to see the growth of those teams. But everyone's gonna have a little different like nose this year, and that doesn't sound like that big of a change, but it is a big change to the car, and we'll just have to wait till we get through, the first two basically super speedway type races, and then get to some intermediate tracks or some short tracks to see with the rules changes, with the different tires, who's been able to capitalize the most on that. But I think starting the year out, you just have to look at those guys that made the championship four. So Blaney, Larson, Byron, and see, to me, they'll start out the season the strongest.
That's quite true. I think with the championship four favorites from last year and certainly carry their momentum from 2023 into this year in 2024. So that should be fun to say the least. And just a hypothetical question, if you had to start off now driving these cars, do you think you would find them a lot harder than what you were driving in the Truck Series and eventually up to Xfinity and Cup?
I don't think harder is the right word. The competition's closer than ever. When you sit back and if you watch lap times during the race, it's pretty incredible how the leader and 20th place are running almost the same lap times. However, you tend to find the same guys working themselves to the front, whether it's through the pit sequence or restarts. The same guys tend to find their way to the front. So I don't know that this car is harder. It's a little bit of a different animal. That I was shocked when they went to this low profile tire you didn't hear a lot of guys talk about that. And when I would go and drive sports cars that had, you know, a similar tire on, I found that the feel of the car and how much you can yaw it out was so much different than what we were used to with, you know, the old style tire with the trucks and Xfinity cars run now. I didn't hear a lot of guys talk about that. I thought that was going to be a harder transition for the guys. So I don't know. I mean, all that stuff is different. And I went through a lot of those changes throughout my career, especially from like 2013 through 2018. It seemed like we had a different rules package every year. We had mega downforce, then no downforce, and tons of power, then no power. But you know, the best teams, the best drivers still seem to find their way to the front.
Absolutely. That's quite true. And yeah, you were right. Quite versatile with the different types of cars that we had. So to your point, the Gen 6 car had so many different variations. I don't even know if we had time talking about every package right now, but I always found that interesting, to say the least. But one common denominator to be successful in racing is also great physical fitness. And I know towards the end of your Cup career, you placed a lot of emphasis on great physical fitness, like with running and cycling. Now, how much have you embraced doing these to be in your best shape in your life, even to this day?
Yeah, so I still run 10 miles a day, 6 days a week. That's just kind of my normal, like I wake up every day and I go run 10 miles. Like let's have some coffee and I go. And I do it mainly because I don't want to get fat, but I also love running. I love the endorphins that releases. It just makes the rest of my day better. And I like being in shape. I just think that, you know, that's a, you know, to be healthy in life, I think everyone should do what they can physically, whether it's, you know, eating right or running or lifting weights, whatever motivates you and makes you feel good. I think everyone should do that, you know, just in general. So for me, I don't know that that'll ever change. And I think as you get older, that becomes more important to you, especially if you can find the time to do it. It seems like 40 is when most people make that transition to like more exercise and eating better, because your body gets, well, it gets a little bit weird looking, right? It's not the same body that you had when you were 25. So you become a little more conscious of that. But clearly, like with our kids, we work really hard on, you know, you let them make their own decisions, but you just try to make sure they know that right from wrong and let them make the decision, and you hope they choose the right one.
Certainly. And I love the fact that running is part of your life. And I can relate to that because I'm trying to get into 10 miles a day of running myself. So I was sitting here just like, oh my goodness, I wish I could even do like 4 times a week. I just did it last week and I was like, oh my God, I'm spent. But I can relate to what you're saying, because yes, 20 years ago, we could eat Pokies and chicken and get away with it. But today it's like,
totally. It's different, careful, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I don't, I think the key there is that I don't run fast. I just run at what feels good. And I listen to podcasts. It's one of the ways that like that I prepare for a race or for a weekend is listening to podcasts. And you listen to all these different driver interviews and it gives you time to kind of think and process and, you know, kind of digest like what questions you might ask somebody if you're doing an interview with them that week.
That's why you're so good at your job. It's what I do too. So
perfect. Awesome. There you go.
If you listen to this during your next run in 2024, I hope. But no, that's exciting to know that you do that, because I also, as a runner, I try to run just for the distance. I don't run for the pace because I am not going to be fast as well. So it's comforting to know that you don't focus on pace too, because a lot of people will always be like, I'm fast. And I'm like,
I know, I don't care how fast you are. Yeah,
exactly. Now, I got to ask you a couple more questions before we wrap things up. You know, obviously you talk a lot about your family, but, you know, one of the things I think you've shown a lot of joy with is being able to spend time with your family and your wife, of course. You know, what's it been like to spend more time with them and still get to do what you love in racing so that you have both of those worlds in your life?
It would be really hard to go back and race again and be gone, not just for the races, but for the appearances, for everything else you have to do, because, you know, I mean, everything I do is like at a studio now. So I'm home a lot. Like, I mean, I'm home every day and I get to, I don't know, normally take the kids to school. My wife does that, but I get to pick them up from school and take them to the horse barn for my little girl. Or if I take my son to, you know, a workout class or to the kart track after school, I get to kind of be just, I wouldn't even say a normal dad, because I think a normal dad would have to work till 5, but I get to, I mean, it's pretty great to be able to have the life that I have now, But to go back and have to do all the racing and not be home, and I mean, just honestly, just even leaving for, you know, for a weekend, it's hard to be away from your kids when you're used to being with them all the time. But when I was driving all the time and we had kids, I didn't know any different. That's just what you did. And, you know, you make the most of the life you're given and the opportunities you have. And if you can be home, it's great. And if you can't, then you just figure out how to make it work. But it would be super hard to go back and do that again.
I can imagine. And that's why it's so hard. People think that race car drivers are just like, oh, they have the ideal life, but they're people doing their jobs just like you and I are doing. And okay, you're giving up a lot to do what you want to do. So I think a lot of folks will understand that point for sure. Now, for my last question, and I hope we get to do more interviews in the future, Jamie, this one's going to be a little bit of a fun one for sure. If there are a few songs that you feel best personifies who you are as a person and as a driver and commentator, what songs would they be and why?
Okay, I will not be able to answer this because I'd have to put a lot of thought into that. A song that would describe your life or your, oh boy, I don't know. I don't know. You'll have to ask me another fun one because that's putting me on the spot. I don't know that I don't think I've ever thought of that.
I actually stumped you. And that's not a Jeff Gluck question. It's a Rob Tiancey question.
Okay. That's so good. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. I feel like I could say something wrong there, but I don't know. I can't even think of anything right off the top of my head that would I love music. It's funny. I've never thought about that for myself. I feel like when I listen to music, I told my little girl the other day, there's a song called Lady. It's a country music song. And I told my little girl, every time I heard that, it reminded me of her. Cause I feel like typically music does remind us of people or of times in your life, but I don't think I've ever thought about my own.
We'll have to revisit that sometime later on this year.
Okay.
I love that. That's the first time I've ever stumped someone on this. So
yeah, well, I could have probably just thrown you like a random answer out, but I want to think about that. I want to make it right.
Okay. Well, hopefully it doesn't stump you during a show, because if I see you pausing and they're asking you a question, I'd be like, uh-oh, that's because of me.
Yeah, well, you never know. Yeah,
for sure. Now, do you have anything you want to say to the race fans and those of fans of NASCAR, Fox NASCAR, about 2024?
You know, I would say this, and you said it a couple times during this interview, I tend to read social media and the comments, you know, good or bad, about what people say. And, you know, when you race a car, you know success based on finishes. And sometimes you get a bad finish, even if you ran well. But for the most part, we judge success on results. In TV, it's all someone's perception of you, and it's an opinion. And it's really hard to please everybody. But I have been overwhelmed and just really enjoyed reading the comments of things people, what they say about me when I'm on TV or if you do an interview. I can't tell you what a blessing it is. I enjoy telling stories. I enjoy talking about racing, and I'm thrilled that people like listening to those stories because it means a lot to me. So I would just say thank you to all the fans out there that have all these great comments and what they say, because it does mean a lot.
And then I'm sure all the fans that will listen to this interview are going to love this, and they want more Jamie Mack content on TPF. So I hope we do, because we didn't even get to talk about the 2003 rookie season you did or anything in your career. And I want to talk about your career because you had a great one for sure. And we're fulfilling one of my dreams I wanted to do when I first started as a journalist. So I hope we get to chat again, okay, Jamie. I had a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on. You had some great questions. I will tell you that from my perspective, doing an interview is significantly harder than being interviewed. It's hard to come up with questions, listen to what their answers are, and then, you know, respond to that. Because what I have found is that a lot of times having 20 questions isn't the right thing. It's about having a couple of good questions and then listening to an answer and following up with that. And I don't know that people can relate to how hard that just is.
It is. But the key thing I say is just have a good conversation and let it flow. And if it does, everything totally works out, you know?
Yep. I appreciate you having me on.
That was Jamie McMurray of Fox NASCAR. And of course, one of the personalities and guest co-hosts for NASCAR Race Hub on FS1. and during Fox NASCAR's segment, our season with Xfinity and Cup with race day. So
that's
my thanks,
so
of course.
Cool. You got to interview him. My goodness, I remember back when he was racing with Penske, like that, I know, forever ago, but man, is so talented. And it's so great to see him up there every week just discussing NASCAR and all that. I love the fact that he's doing it. It's so cool. So,
and he does it really, really well. And I love the fact that he was talking about how when he does his 10-mile runs, he listens to podcasts and listens to driver interviews. And I was thinking, dude, I do the same exact thing. That's how I prepare for my
interviews. Oh my gosh, you all have to give each other high fives if you guys bump into each other this season.
Let us hope it that will happen. I'm telling you, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you folks have seen the YouTube version of the interview, but towards the end, you get the feeling that Jamie and I are going to talk about being on Strava or, you know, comparing each other's times. So I can't quite run 10 miles, but hey, I did 6 miles before the show. So
more
I'm
than
trying
me,
to.
So bless. I
want to run 10 miles eventually, but my knees can only handle 6 miles right now. So maybe later this year, we'll see how my progress goes. But my thanks, of course, to Jamie for his time ahead of this season to do that segment with me, and also Megan Engelhart of Fox Sports for making that happen. In fact, I'm going to be thanking Megan quite a bit these next several weeks. So Megan, don't get sick of me thanking you for this part of our show, but it's no surprise that we have a lot of Fox NASCAR personalities and journalists lined up for these next several weeks to get you all hyped up for the season. So going to be fun. And of course, I'm really excited about the one for Daytona 500 Speed Weeks preview show, because if you see the YouTube clip that I'm probably going to post tomorrow or on Friday, it's a little hint as to who I'm talking to for Daytona.
I like that a lot.
Let's just say that the hint I'm going to give, besides my background, is the fact that it's a variant of my name, but it's not a name I want to be called. But for certain people, it works. But I am Rob, and that person goes by a different version of Rob. So, yeah.
Speed. Yeah, that's the name.
There you
I
go.
Like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speed. Like, I'm talking about Lake Chamber Speed. So there you go. Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. The guy who drove the Cartoon Network Spam and Purex car number 83.
I have one of those up in the front of the house. So yes, yes, I'll take it. I will take it.
There you go. So maybe we'll get Lake Speed to be on the show and we'll talk about his victory in the 1988 Trans-South 500. Yes, I remember these things, folks, because I actually have a life.
I wasn't born.
You
yet.
Did too. You weren't born. I was only 2 years old. Well, almost three, but you know.
Old enough. I got it.
1988, three times. And just don't get me started on a certain movie with Fievel the Mouse. Anyways, as I did last week, this is the point where we do our closing thoughts, or in the words of the late Jerry Springer, our closing thoughts. So, Jazz, what are your thoughts closing out the show in terms of the Clash? What are you looking forward to?
Don't expect what you see at the Clash to be what the results will be for the entire season. You look at it from the Clash and all that, and yeah, things were completely different from what they were by the time that the end of 2023 happened. So
take it for what it is, but it's just not what's going to be in store for the year. It's just a way to get out of the burrow that Punxsutawney Phil is going to be showing out of when you get to hear the show on Friday, February 2nd. Oh my goodness, Groundhog Day. Ooh, wow.
Ooh.
Good time. Yeah. Oh man, that Punxsutawney Phil. I'm glad he did that. He did the thing. That's cool. I don't know what happened, folks, because we're doing this on Thursday night. So I don't know if he saw a shadow or not. Honestly, it's a human being who's making that prediction. It's not a groundhog.
Yeah, that's groundhog. I hope they pay that groundhog good money. God, must be hard to be a groundhog.
Let's just hope that groundhog has a... No, I'm not going to do that joke. Never mind.
Does it panic when he sees himself? Yeah, I'd panic too. It's okay. I'm fine with me.
He'll panic room his attack for the room. Yeah, I've probably lost like half of our listeners with
I know,
that
they're
comment.
Like, what? What did you say?
Oh, good times in the US of A. But anyways, folks, I think it's just about time to put a bow on our show. So for Jazz Sharp and for Jamie McMurray, I'm your host, Rob Tiongson, saying thanks so much for joining us for the World's Fastest Hour Racing Talk for our previous 101 episodes. Check those out on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Stay tuned for next week's episode, episode 103, when we welcome Fox NASCAR's Caitlin Vinci to be in the hot seat, because it's basically a week before the Daytona 500. So,
Rusty Wallace, sorry. Oh, too early. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. So as I always like to say at the end of these shows, let's all go get that checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everybody.